Court for the Southern District of Ohio. And that's all these original contracts, admiralty, the flag, all those things. All those cases have essentially reviewed those arguments and decided and rejected them with little to no discussion as to their validity.
So the Constitution is not in effect for the United States of America?
Not as you read it, not as you interpret it.
Okay. So, is there a rule to the game?
Clerk, can you go into my office and make a copy of the indictment in this case?
I still had three other issues besides the motions.
Okay, we'll get to them. If assuming we have time, your standby counsel has to.
I have nothing to do with him. I don't need him. I'm fine.
Well, Mr. Deegan, you need some help in terms of just the administrative aspects of issuing subpoenas and different things like that, because even though you may have and can effectively argue your interpretation of the law, sometimes it's good to have people that know the procedure that needs to be gone through to, like, issue subpoenas and things like that, so that witnesses that you want to have here can be here to offer evidence if it's relevant.
For the record, Judge, if this might be an appropriate time to note that the only communication I've received indirectly from Mr. Deegan is a communication. Well, I've received two faxes last week from a person identifying themselves on the fax as Phil Hudock, who represented that he was passing along a communication from Mr. Deegan. To the effect that I was to immediately turn over the discs that we've had so much discussion about by Friday of last week. And I received the faxes. I sent back an email to Mr. Hudock essentially saying what I've said here in court about the arrangements I've made for transcripts and that I couldn't deliver the discs to Mr. Deegan in jail.
Okay. Give that to Mr. Deegan. Can I have the indictment, please?
I've seen it. I refused it for cause and sent it back.
Mr. Deegan, I just want to make sure that you understand that the document that I've placed in front of you, and you can refuse it with or without prejudice, with or without cause. I don't particularly care. This indictment is what is referred to as the charging document in this case, in the 16 case, and it accuses you or makes allegations that you were making terroristic threats. And it says that on or about a certain date in September 2015 in Wood County, West Virginia, you committed the offense of making terroristic threats by unlawfully, intentionally, and feloniously threatening to commit a terroristic act with or without intent to commit said terroristic act against the peace and dignity of the state. And that is based upon the laws of this state as passed by our legislature. And it's said there in the indictment itself, 61-6-24. I just want to make sure that you understand that that is the charge or the allegation that has been made against you and that we are set to go to trial on in a couple of weeks.
Now, I don't understand, and according to the government printing manual, that would be a corporation, a trust, or a dead person. And I do not understand why I cannot be named properly. Even the magistrate wrote over and named me, tried to name me properly. I don't understand this document.
You can sit there and say you don't understand the document all you want to. It's written in plain English. It's not fancy language. Then the government printing manual that you attached to one of your later pleadings is not binding on this court on anything to do with this case.
Okay, well, let me just make it clear then. I don't understand why a name is capitalized and it's purported to be me, and it's not my name.
Okay. Well, the issue of identification is an issue that needs to be proven by the state at trial. So if you're saying that's not you, that's certainly an issue that the state has to prove that you did commit the offense that you're accused of committing in this case, or at least in the 16 case. Now, in the 11F101, it's alleged that you're on home confinement, and that one of the conditions of home confinement is that you weren't supposed to commit a crime, and the motion says that you committed this offense. The proof of the commission of this offense would tend to establish, along with some other evidence from a procedural standpoint, but would tend to establish that you did commit or that you did violate your home confinement. So I just want to make sure that you're aware of the charges and sort of how they relate in this case.
No, I don't understand that, so I guess we can leave it at that.
All right. Did you say you had a couple other issues?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see here. Purported West Virginia Code 69A1. The legislature hereby further finds and declares that the citizens of the state do not yield their sovereignty to the governmental agencies that serve them. And we've got here alleged West Virginia Code 2-2-10. Rules for construction of statutes, subsection I. And this would be, unless there's a different intent or a different definition, the word person or whoever shall include corporations, societies, associations, and partnerships. Of course, I'm none of those. And in the alleged code that I'm, well, I mean, something's charged with, 61.624, there is no definition of person. Person is used. And so the definition of person would be corporations, societies, associations, and partnerships. Therefore, not applicable to me. And that is directly from the West Virginia legislature.
Anything you want to say to that, Mr. Rogers?
I'm not sure what the motion is, but the number of definitions of person
that I have them all right here.
And
you presented those
that was sent to the state include that a person is an individual, the defendant's an individual. Either way, these are definitions outside the code. I don't believe there's any basis in law for this argument, and the state would move to dismiss.
Anything you want to say to the state's argument, Mr. Dean?
Yeah. I look specifically for the definition of person because it is used in the complaint. Let's see. says any person who knowingly and willingly, okay, so person's there. It's 61. 61 is not in here. It's not defined. And so the legislature has set forth the rule for the construction of statutes. For when it's not defined, it is corporations, societies, associations, and partnerships. I mean, it's quite clear. That's the legislature. And I'm being allegedly charged with something from the legislature. And this says that it's not applicable to me. It doesn't say individual. It says corporations, societies, associations, and partnerships. And when you start naming things, that's the exclusion of all the rest. That's a common thing for the construction of statutes. And they started listing them. And so it's limited to those four things when it's not defined. And I submitted every definition of person. And 61, which is what is on this commercial charge here, is not in there, and so it would fall back. And this is the legislative rules. I mean, it's kind of hard to argue with the legislature, I would say. They defined it that way for a reason. And that's their right, supposedly, for their society.
All right. That motion or demand is denied. Of course, the term person, I think, is generally assumed to mean individuals, and what those definitions do is define it broader than what someone might argue the term person would mean, to include other things that people may not normally think of as being an individual or a person. And that's why it says corporations and partnerships, I think, and things like that. So, all right. Anything else?
We demanded oath and bonds, and I haven't received any of them, but I did receive a certificate of insurance from Jason Wharton himself. That is for Bedford County, Virginia, and I was wondering why, when asked for indemnity bonds or insurance and oaths, this was presented as an official response.
Mr. Rogers, any idea?
It's my understanding that response was from a FOIA request, which is not relevant to matter at hand. And any more information on that FOIA request I don't have.
I made the demand in my documents.
Yeah, you did make your demand for those bonds and insurance documents, and those things are not relevant to this case. And so any request for an oath or bond is denied in this case.
All right. Well, I mean, I can see where this is going. And as I had said in a lot of my things, it had already been decided what's going to happen here. So I don't see the need for me to come back. It's already been decided. Your letter said the commission of the crimes, as I pointed out from last Monday. The motion hearing was pushed up when I was supposed to have a few weeks to prepare. The state has taken ample time to prepare and has been given ample time, nothing has been afforded me. I don't know the rules of the game because the Constitution is not in play. So I have no understanding of what's happening here whatsoever. From the beginning, with God as my witness, I, Thomas, a true man of God, acknowledge all his blessings given by God. I repent all my transgressions against God and waive all claims without God. And I don't have anything else to say because I have no understanding left.
Are you wanting additional time to prepare for some of these motions that you filed? And I'm trying to get these done before trial so that people can know.
The people are not here that would need to be because a lot of it would have to do with the victims, and they're not here. And, it's not me saying to delay. I put it in 25th of December was the first one. The second one was mid-January, and this one, she tried to argue that it wasn't right, and it actually was. According to the rules, I did everything I was supposed to. And those should have been issued, and if you moved up the hearing date for it, it should have been issued, and they should have been here. So, no, I'm not asking for a delay because I don't understand anything anymore because there's no apparent rules. The Constitution is not in play. And things are just being made up as we go in violation of it. And so I have no understanding whatsoever here, none. My motions are here. He has presented no arguments against them. And so all he does is he makes an argument here, gives me no time to prepare. This is not, I mean, this is absolute ludicrousness, a ridiculousness that is being handled this way. And like I said, once again, there's really no need for me to be here because it's already been pre-decided, as clearly shown here, because an argument based upon the Constitution is absolutely 100% valid unless we're not operating by it. And if we're not operating by it, let me know so that I know that this is private, for-profit enterprise, and that I can properly defend myself in that venue.
Well, certainly, if you don't want to be brought here from the jail, I'm not going to force the jail to forcibly remove you from your cell and forcibly bring you here, but you need to be aware that if you voluntarily choose not to show up at trial, the trial is going to go on without you. And you probably preserved all the issues that you want to or need to for appellate purposes, you know, if you don't show up at trial...
I've already been told that I have to appear or they will extract me from the cell with violence. That's already been threatened. That's the only reason I'm here now is that I've been threatened with violence to be here.
Sir, if you don't want to come here, you don't have to come.
That's not what they said. Otherwise, I would have never been to the magistrate in the first place after I refused her commercial advances. I am not here voluntarily in any way, shape, or form. Whatsoever. And I've made that quite clear in all of my documents from the very beginning that I'm not here voluntarily. And I don't understand. I don't understand. I asked for simple explanations today and got none. As far as I know, the Constitution is not in play. So I'm not sure, is this a government court or is this just some private for profit court masquerading as government? I don't know. I don't know. So I don't know how I can defend myself. Especially when it's not me listed on the paper. I'm a man of God. I follow his laws. I can't be made to follow yours and his. I can't be a servant to two things. I can't serve God and mammon. I've made that quite clear. I've harmed no one. There is not a living soul here saying I've harmed him. What we have is we have a two creatures of the mind that the magistrate said were harmed. And yet there's been no harm shown whatsoever. That is one of the things in common law. There has to be harm. Harm. There's no harm anywhere. No one's been harmed but me. I've lost 6 months of my life. I've lost my children's life. And now we're saying that the rules of the game, the Constitution, are not in play. So I have no understanding whatsoever. And after your letter from last Monday, I don't really see the need to be here. It was already said I'm guilty. We've got these guys here who are defaulted and dishonored, don't even have the standing to rule. And a ruling, an administrative order, not even a judicial order, an administrative order. I mean, are we in administrative courts? Like I said, nothing makes sense to me because nothing's following the contract. The contract is the oath, and you're bound to the supreme law of the land, and you're telling me you're not bound to it. And so I have no understanding here. That is not me on that document. That is not my name. I expatriated. I showed proof and evidence that the whole world and each jurisdiction was noticed of my expatriation. That is preserved and protected by a statute of Congress, Rights of American Citizens in Foreign States, July 27, 1868.
Do you want me to tell the jail then that if you don't want to come, not to force you from the jail or force you from your cell?
I mean, they have been forcing me, and you said last time we were here that you had in personam jurisdiction because I was here. And, you know, it's not voluntary, and I don't know of any court that gains it by it not being voluntary, and yet you've claimed it already. You know, this is not me on here. That's not me. government printing manual says, all caps, are dead people and corporations. I'm neither. I'm a living man. I'm a living man.
You want me to tell the regional jail not to forcibly extract you from yourself?
You said you couldn't. You could not tell them what to do. When I asked last week to demand that I be allowed to hear the evidence, alleged evidence against me.
You're not answering my question. Do you want me to tell the regional jail not to forcibly remove you from your cell?
Absolutely.
You're saying you don't want to be here, so...
Absolutely. If I don't want to be here, I shouldn't have to be forced to be here. Like I said, this is not me. This is not me. There's only one person on earth that can actually say who I am, and that's my mother. She was the only one there at birth. Everyone else is not a firsthand fact witness. And yet I'm going to be tried and convicted on people that are not firsthand fact witnesses.
All right, I just want to make sure you understand that if you are not here, that you're giving up your right to, you know, cross-examine witnesses, present evidence, and all the other things that you may wish to do. You understand that?
It appears that all of my evidence is being disallowed, which was the Constitution and Acts of Congress. I'm not sure where that's going. The state has offered no rational arguments to anything, and yet everything of mine has been shot down. Like I said, I have no understanding of what's happening here. That's not me on any of this paperwork.
All right, well, I will write the regional jail and tell them that if you don't want to come out, that they don't have to force you from your jail or from your cell, but that that is it's not a wise choice, but it is a choice that you certainly are entitled to make. Some of the pleadings that have been filed in this case, we haven't specifically gone through, and some of the defendant's recent assertions that he doesn't understand could cause a review in court to believe that perhaps the defendant is not competent to stand trial. I do not believe... Let me see. George, let me see. Yeah, how about getting him a couple more? He's got, I think, three there. Could cause a review in court to believe that the defendant was not competent to stand trial. I just want to put on the record the reasons why I don't believe, why I believe the defendant is competent, contrary to his assertions that he doesn't understand, because, of course, that's easy to say, I don't understand. But, of course, the defendant is involved in a prior case with this court, 11F101. And in that case, originally, he made some of these similar arguments. I don't know that they were the exact same, but they were similar arguments. And then, I believe, he was absent for a while. And then when he reappeared, he had counsel. He ended up pleading guilty pursuant to a plea agreement and acted very appropriately, filled out the necessary paperwork, went through the... what's referred to as the colloquy, the plea colloquy, went through the pre-sentence process, cooperated with everybody. What was going on between him and his counsel, I don't know, but I know that he acted appropriately, and the terms of the plea were honored by everyone, and I think the terms of the plea required that he be placed on home confinement. And then, of course, what happened while he was on home confinement, I don't know, because he was on home confinement. But he acted very appropriately at that point, even though at the beginning of the case he wanted to represent himself and had similar arguments. And if this was the only case in the world that had these arguments, then someone might think it was unique to this defendant, but the cases that I just cited, where I didn't give a normal citation, but I indicated the jurisdiction where they came from. All deal with similar arguments. In other words, this defendant is not the only person in the world that's making these arguments. They are a common argument made, or I don't know how common, but they are an argument that have been made in other courts by other individuals. This theory or defense that the defendant is asserting is not unique to him. And then the third reason is a couple of the motions that the defendant filed were actually, one of them was unique and showed some actual, a thought process. And that was wanting to recognize individuals who were not licensed attorneys as counsel so that he could then assert the legal privilege of attorney-client privilege to keep conversations from them from being introduced. I'm assuming they're on some of these phone calls. I don't know. I don't know why he wanted to do it, but the theory was good. It was unique in terms of he was wanting to take people who were not licensed attorneys, have them recognized as counsel so that the attorney-client privilege would attach to their conversation so that any conversation that he might have had with them that might be wanting to be introduced by the state could be introduced by the state. So that's one of the issues. The other one is the motion with regard to the transcripts and the recordings, where he's wanting to have or making the allegation that there needs to be an expert that can identify the voices on there, someone who can identify or can verify that the transcript is accurate with the recording, and what those two motions indicate to me is that the defendant is very aware of the evidence, is very aware of the significance of the evidence, and so that to me tells me that if he wants to, he could participate in this proceeding. He could have counsel. He knows the nature of these proceedings, and for that is the reason why this court is not sua sponte having the defendant evaluated to determine his competency. You need to be someplace, Mr. Oshway, at 11:45, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Well, that's probably all that we can get done with this morning. I think we've hit most of the big issues. I'm going to still try to get Mr. Deegan, do you still want me to get some kind of a mechanism for you to listen to these DVDs?
I mean, this is not me on there. And you can say that other people have argued it and other people ruled against it. It's not me. It's not me. My name was noticed, Thomas David House of Deegan, to the entire world in 2013. This has not been fair at all. It's not going to be fair by the letter I received from you last week and by the facts that I received from him. I see exactly what's happening, and I don't see the need to be here at all, especially because it's not me. It's not me. Well, if it's me, name me on that document. Write my name properly if it's me, and I'll be here and I'll answer it, but that's not me. I'm a man of God. I listen to God. I obey God. I follow his laws. The law of the land is God's word. That's what I'm following.
So do you want me to get make arrangements to try to get...
He's going to introduce it. There's no one certifying it's me. I deny it's me. I've denied it's me all along. There's no one certifying that it's an original. He admitted they extracted it from the Internet, so now we're going to the Internet. I mean, if we're going to extract stuff from the Internet, I can extract all kinds of things that make the government look bad. I mean, this is ridiculous that this minute level of evidence that would even be called evidence, and I've been held for 6 months already, and it's not me. If it's me, look, indict my name on there. Put it on there, because that's not me. That's not even me on there. It's close, but it's not me. I noticed, and that was in compliance with an act of Congress that says I had the right to expatriate, to leave, and I did, 2013. And I gave notice to the governor. I gave notice to the sheriff here. They got notice of who I am, so they know who I am. They know my name. And, yes, I was kidnapped in 2014. I was held unlawfully in the military prison known as North Central Regional Jail. And, yes, I was forced to take an attorney, a foreign agent, pursuant to Rabinowitz versus Kennedy. I believe it was 63 U.S. Supreme Court. And, yes, he lied to me during the plea negotiations. He lied to me on what it meant. And, yes, now it is not a lawful contract in my eyes because the terms were not fully set out to me. A lawful contract, I must know everything. And so, yes, I'm disputing it all. I've disputed all of my motions. My motions have been thrown away. The prosecution refuses to answer them. That's not how it goes. If he doesn't answer them, there's no reason. They're not opposed. And yet they're being opposed, and it appears that the judge is actually acting in concert with the prosecution. So I don't see that there's anything fair going on here. The judge is paid by the state of West Virginia pursuant to West Virginia code. So you're paid by the plaintiff. How fair can that be if your paycheck comes from the plaintiff? So no, I have no understanding. I'm a very smart man. My IQ is very high. But I have no understanding of what's happening here because no one's willing to sit down and explain it. If this is commercial, just explain it to me. I know the rules of commerce. I know the rules of commerce very well. It's the Uniform Commercial Code. If this is law, then tell me it's law. I know the rules of law very well. Statutory, that doesn't exist anywhere. That's not in the Constitution of West Virginia. It's not in the Constitution for the United States of America. It is a made-up jurisdiction. It is really just admiralty, executive admiralty or executive chancery, as evidenced by the yellow fringe on the flag. This president has said what the yellow fringe means. To argue against the president invalidates your whole system. I don't understand. If it's me, name me. I will answer anything where someone names me because I do not walk on this earth and harm anything or anyone at any time.
Okay. Judge, before you adjourn, I mean, I'm not sure if the court is, if there are other issues that the court wants to take up before trial. I have another hearing. As the court notes, I have a hearing at 11:45. I have another hearing that should be fairly short at 1:30 this afternoon, and then I have another hearing at 4 o'clock. So I should have, if the court wishes to, I don't know what your schedule is, but I mean, if there are other matters that you want to address before the trial, I am available for at least a couple hours this afternoon.
I'm not sure that there really is, at least at this point. I'm going to try to make arrangements to get Mr. Deegan a computer so that he can listen to these things if he chooses to. And then I've got to go through, you know, this stack of motions that have been filed. I think we've addressed most, if not all of them, and we've addressed the pressing ones, which is the transcript and the recordings and, you know, things like that. But we can always wait and call the jury in at 1 and take up anything like that. I'm a little curious as to the legal basis for the extraction, but I mean, perhaps if it's on the internet, maybe you don't need a search warrant. Maybe you don't need anything. I mean, because I guess the search or the internet is public. That So you're just taking things that are in the public domain and copying them. But maybe that's just something we'll have to deal with as the evidence comes in.
I think authenticity would be the issue there, or at least certainly a big issue.
Right. So, okay. Thank you.